People, it's supposed to say you are tuning in for the culture podcast. Let me take a minute before you smell my breath on the podcast.
So one of your favorite books is The Five Love Languages.
Yes. Have you read it?
Yes, I have.
It's life-changing.
What's your love language? My love language?
Mm-hmm. You don't know? Have you done the quiz? You can do a quiz.
Yeah, I did the quiz, but it's been a while. I think it was...
You don't remember your love language?
The hell?
You have like all of them, but you have, you know, in order, kind of.
Name all five of them real quick, so I can, if you name all five of them, then I'll pop in.
Acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, and gifts.
Mine was words of affirmation, I think. Mm-hmm. And physical touch, I think it was. I think it was those two. What was yours?
Acts of service and quality time.
Quality time. Okay. What is yours, Clark?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't read it, but I've heard about that.
You should do the quiz. There's like a 5-minute online quiz. I mean, everybody should read the book because the book is great. The book is so different from the quiz, but you can do a quiz like online just to figure out what's your thing.
Definitely. It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while since I took the quiz. I'm going to send it to you, Clark, but I'm going to retake it just to refresh my mind.
It works for everything. I asked some of my friends. So one of my best female friends, I asked her, I was like, what's your love language? She's like, it's words of affirmation, she said. So I was like, oh. So now every now and then I just text her and tell her why she's so great. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it works for any. It can be friends, it can be family, it can be kids, whatever.
Back at it again, it's the Photo Culture Podcast. I go by the name Exotic Rosé. And I'm my co-host, Money Mitch. And today, We have Miss Bikini USA 2020, Maxi West.
I am very happy to be on the podcast, guys.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Thank you. It took a while to get it all connected, right?
Yeah.
But now we're here.
I think how long it been? Like what? I reached out to you like 2 years ago?
Is it that long ago?
I think it was like 2 years ago, and we lost touch, and then I reached back out. I was like, I think it's ready. I think we're ready to get this going.
I think you emailed first, right?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
I need an email assistant. I'm not gonna lie.
but
when we get the phone number, it's easier.
Yeah, it's easier. It's way easier. That's why I always ask for the number. But let's start from the beginning. So you're from Sweden. Okay. And you started working out since you were 15 years old.
I think I started, I played tennis when I was little, and I think I was 8 when I started. My dad used to play tennis, so I played tennis and I danced for a while. But the first time I went to a gym, I think it was 15. And I lift weights for a few years with my guy friends. So I had no idea how to train. I just trained like the guys, you know, a lot of arms and stuff. I didn't know any better. And it was a friend of mine that owned a little hole in the wall gym, kind of, when we just go there all the time. Then I got really skinny. So then I got back to the weights again.
So I seen a picture of you on your profile earlier today. Was that you compared to me now? Like you did throwback picture of you and then a picture of you now. Was that you?
I was really skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big difference now. There's a big difference.
So I think I never really realized, because you know how before you start like learning about training and nutrition, you just kind of do what you think or what you read or what you hear people saying. So, you know, in your mind, you think, oh, I have to do a lot of cardio and I have to eat less because then I'm going to look better. But what I have learned, I'm 35 now, what I've learned in my life is that my body doesn't really work like that. Like I have to eat so much food, you guys have no idea. And if I don't do that, I disappear. And, you know, like you think when you're young, especially as a girl, you're like, oh, I want to be so skinny. But then I don't think you really realize until you get skinny like that, that, oh, this wasn't what I wanted. because it's also hard. A lot of people, like, they, you know, a lot of people have a lot of fat. Yes, of course, they might need to lose fat, but a lot of people are also, you're holding water, which is kind of, you know, a false, it's like an illusion. Like, you don't necessarily look like that, because I know when I start actual prepping, you're very, very particular with your salt and your water and all of these things, and then you don't hold water, and that's when you really see what you look like.
Oh. You know?
Otherwise, I am too. You know, I know my body so well these days. Like, I know exactly if I eat this food, I'm going to get a little bloated, and then I'm going to look this way, and then the day after, I'm going to look like that. You know, you learn, but it's a whole freaking science. It's not something you just learn overnight. And it's the same. Everybody's different. So it takes time to learn.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I had to learn was when I was in high school, I was so more active to now where I'm now, because now I pretty much, like, I work now. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn how to adapt, because I realized I was gaining weight. Mm-hmm. But I was eating the same, and I wasn't being as much as active as I was in the past. So I was like, oh, I got to change something.
Mm-hmm. But it's the same, you know, it's really difficult if you don't know how macros work and what foods have what macros and whatnot. So sometimes, as I said, I eat a lot of food, like a large amount of food, but I'm not eating pizza and burgers. I mean, I do it when I have a cheat, but that's why I can eat a large amount of food, but, you know, I get less calories in, because obviously you want to eat clean. On a regular day, when I'm not cutting for anything, I eat about 3,400 calories a day.
Wow.
And, you know, like they say, like a normal person eats about 2,000 calories, which is, I guess, you know,
around about
accurate. Yeah. Like that's not me. It's never going to be me. That's not how my body works. So it's all about figuring out, you know, how do you work? What works for you? Because just because they said that that's the average doesn't mean that every single person is like that.
That's true.
Okay, so let's break down. So give us your daily routine of how you eat. Like, what, since you're eating about 3,000 calories a day, what are you eating? What are you putting in your system, in your body?
I've started a cut because I'm competing in 8 weeks. So last week, me and my coach started cutting my food. But up until then, I was not. So I still eat the same things. We're just slowly, slowly decreasing the food. But since I am on prep, so I'm going to tell you, you know, what I eat now. But then when I'm not prepping, I'm a little bit more flexible with the food. But right now, all of my meals, I eat 6 meals a day. I don't snack at all. It's all full meals. So I do breakfast. I'm allergic to eggs, so I can't eat eggs. I used to eat that a lot, but I can't anymore. So my main source of protein is turkey and beef. That's what I have to do, even for breakfast. So I would eat oatmeal, I would eat fruit, I will eat turkey. And then all of my meals in between are basically pretty much the same. It's either beef or turkey. If I'm not prepping, I would, you know, switch around the vegetables more. And then I do rice most of the time, sometimes sweet potato, but it does make me a little bloated. So same there, now I'm on prep, so it's all rice. And then I do for evening again, I do repeat my breakfast.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool.
So it's a lot of food and it's good. And I'm very lucky to not have to ever go that low on my calories, not even the day, week before my competition. So for that, I'm very happy.
That is really cool. Like, how did you find out? How did you find out these things? Did you trial and error, or is it something?
Yeah, I mean, it really is, because so I started competing like 7 years ago. I did MPC. So I had never done like a prep before that. I decided, you know, I'm going to do this. I started researching, and I even I studied and got certified in nutrition and training and a few other things as well. So yeah, I started learning about nutrition, but just because you know how nutrition works doesn't mean you know exactly what to eat. It just means like, you know, the how it works, but then you still got to figure out what works for you. So over the years, my diet has changed a lot. I'm going to say that I've always, like for the past 10 years, I've been eating about 5 to 6 times a day. That has not changed, but it has changed the foods that I'm eating in the meals and the size of them. So obviously the first time I cut, I thought, oh, hey, I have to take away a lot of carbs because that's just how it is, right? That's what you read everywhere and that's what everybody says. So that's what I did. And I also ended up, when I competed, then I was very, very flat, meaning like my muscles were, you know, they're not, they don't look full, which I realized now. I started with my current coach beginning of last year. And with her, so I've had a coach before. I've coached myself once and then I had another coach. And I think the difference we did then was just we cut too much carbs too fast. So with her, and the reason why we figured out so well with her is that last year I was supposed to compete in June, COVID hits, you know. So obviously, oh, the show isn't happening. What do I do? So I talked to her. I was like, what do I do? I don't know. Like, am I competing? Am I not? So we decided I'm just going to keep prepping and just hope for the best. So I ended up prepping for 11 months. That's not normal. Most people do 3 or 4 months prep. So because I was prepping for so damn long, we were able to like make adjustments every week for 11 months and then realized that we kept increasing my carbs more and more and more, and I did not gain any weight. So basically, like, we kept increasing and increasing and increasing, and it just never I didn't gain any freaking weight, which was crazy. That's how we ended up on 3,400 calories. Like, I would probably never have gotten that high if it wasn't for COVID. Wow. I know I had to eat a lot, but not that much. That's extreme. And that also saying, including I still, with the 3,400 calories, I still do my cheat meal every week, which I don't count. It's maybe 10,000, 20,000 calories. Who knows?
Damn.
And
that's like
no cardio. I don't do cardio.
Wow. Okay, so just strictly weight training, right?
Yeah.
I actually started,
I've done cardio 3 times now just because I'm coming up to my competition, but I didn't do any cardio for 8 months. None at all.
Okay. And is your knee better now? Like, I know you bent your knee in the past from kickboxing. Yeah,
it's like 12 years ago now, I think. I dislocated it and I never had surgery or anything. So it's just bad, but I just maintain it and I focus on a lot of workouts that strengthen the muscle around the knee. I do a lot of, not all of it, but I'm going to say probably about half of my leg workouts are single leg exercises, so to make sure my bad side functions. And I have a physical therapist. Usually I'll see him like once a month or something, but now before my show I see him every week just to make sure I maintain it. So it's not like my knee just magically gonna get good one day, but I just maintain it. That's all.
Do you plan on ever getting a surgery or
hell no?
I've
had one surgery and never again.
It hurts. The recovery hurts.
It was hell. I thought they were gonna amputate my arm. So no thanks, no more.
Yeah, that actually happened to me almost. I had a motorcycle accident, and the doctor was asking me, like, what do I do for a living? I was working on cars at the time because I'm a car guy, and he was like, yeah, you might wake up without it. I was like, what? I got a screw holding this hand together. And pins and all that. So I know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel.
I broke my wrist. I had a bad doctor. And so I didn't use my arm for 8 months. And then I flew to Sweden and got a really good wrist doctor. So he ended up basically going in and breaking up the arm again. And then they took my hip bone and made like a little new wrist out of it. And then screws and stuff. And then the surgery took 11 hours and it was just so long for my body. So when I finally woke up, my whole arm turned blue and they thought I got compartment syndrome, which is called. So I wasn't getting any blood flow in my arm. So they said, I didn't actually have it, but they say if I would have had it, they would have to cut the arm off. So I had to go in for a second surgery. And that's when they cut off, I don't know, they cut open the whole arm. It scars. I have like 200 scars, something. So they cut open everything plus the hand just to kind of release the tension. And I was lucky and everything was fine. Wow. But I remember when they walk into the room and I'm like, why is it blue? And I like look at my hand, like, why is it blue? And the doctor is standing like hanging over my head like this, talking to another doctor. He's like, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. And then he looks down at me. He's like, I don't know if we have time to give you anesthesia. I was like, what? Okay, no, I'm going to die right now. Like, this is not happening.
Wow.
I didn't, but I'm like, I will never forget that. I'm like laying there, I'm so scared. Like, they're gonna cut at me without anesthesia.
Yeah, I would have been going crazy too, because like, you don't know what you're gonna do. What are you talking about? You're a doctor.
Yeah, no, and it wasn't his fault, because I got surgery on Christmas, so the hospital was pretty much like very, very limited on staff. And there was one nurse that took care of us, like all of us. And I pressed the button and she comes in and she's like, eh. And I said, something is wrong. I said, like, I'm not complaining, you know, like I can take pain, but this is not right. Like something is wrong. She's like, yeah, yeah. And then she goes away. She gives me like a painkiller or something. And I just feel, you know, like something is wrong. Like this is not, I don't even care. Wow. People come in, oh, how much pain do you have from a scale of 1 to 10? I'm like, oh, it's like an 8. They're like, 8? That's a lot. I'm like, I'm fine, you know, whatever. And then they go in. I'm like, it's a 10. It's a 10. It's a 10. Like, I don't know what to do. I can't breathe. That's how much it hurt. And she kind of got tired of me because I kept pressing the button. And she's like, yeah, 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 like this. And then she ended up not calling the doctor. So then when she finally calls the doctor, it's been 18 hours. I'm laying like this for 18 hours and the doctor comes in and he just said, what the fuck is going on? Why did nobody call me? And she's like, what? And he said, she needs surgery. And the nurse says, when? He's like 10 minutes ago, you know? So it wasn't the doctor's fault, but, and I, so this is in Sweden. It works different there. So they told me that technically I could report the hospital because you can't really sue people over there. So they told me I can report the hospital because they shouldn't have happened like that. But I was just like, fuck it. Let's just forget it. I'm fine now. And yep. So no, it was their mistake and she shouldn't, I'm sure she probably doesn't have a job there anymore.
Okay. So let's go back to, you said we can't really sue people back over there. Why not?
Like the system doesn't work like that. I mean, you can, but it's just not, the thing is, if you get treated badly like that, you report the hospital. Like it's still kind of the same. You just don't, it's not like in this country, people fucking sue each other left and right. I don't understand it. It's insane. Uh-huh. Over there, like things just work differently. I said, of course people can sue people, but it's just the system works differently. I said, you're still going to get help and you're probably going to get money, but you don't go on a lawsuit for her. You know, you place a report against the hospital and then it, you know, there's like a routine for how it's supposed to work.
Gotcha.
Does it make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you pack 7 bags and you leave Sweden to go to the US.
Yeah.
With no real plan. So what made you say, hey, and what age did you do this? And what made you say, hey, I pack all my stuff and I'm gone and I'm going to the US?
Was 25 or 26. Yeah, 25 or 26. I don't know. I had like a photography business over there. I had a photo studio. And then I was, I also worked at a hotel, like with, I worked in the bar and with, actually, no, did I work in? Either way, whatever. I worked in a hotel and I worked with sales too. I had like many jobs. I've always been like that. I worked for work. And I just wasn't happy. I never really loved being in Sweden ever. And I've been like, I come from one city. One day I kind of just like, ah, fuck this. And I moved to a different city across the country. And then I was there for a while. And it was like, I just knew I wanted more. I wanted to do more. I wanted to do things that you can't do over there. Like the country is great if you want to have like an 8-to-5 job and like have your freaking your insurances and pension and whatnot. But I'm like, I'm just not, I like more adventure. And I just wasn't happy there. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I remember I had like a guest in the hotel that I think the person lived in New York or something and like told me about it. And I was like, ooh, New York, maybe I should go there.
Yeah.
So one day I just Like, this happened within a week. I quit my job. They thought I was joking. I was like, I'm moving to New York. They're like, yes, I'm very funny. You know, I was like, no, I am. And then I rented out my apartment, like, sold all my stuff, packed 7 suitcases and left.
Wow.
And I have a relative in New York. Like, we're, I don't even know, fourth cousins or something. I'd never even met her. I just knew about her. And I talked to her and I ended up going to stay with her for a little while I found a place to rent. And then I was there.
Wow. How was that? How was that, like, meeting your fourth cousin? Like, how was that meeting? Like, did that go well? Did it feel awkward? Oh, like,
yeah. She's, it's not kind of creepy. She's like a copy of my aunt. No, it was good. I mean, I don't really talk to her very often, but it was fun. And I was in New York, and I figured I didn't really want to be in New York because I like the weather here. I hate cold weather. I really do. And I was just there first and figured if I can make it work over there, I can probably make it anywhere. So yeah. I just started there, and I was there. I was there for a while, like 6 years.
Yes. Yeah, wow. Years. Yeah, that's a long while.
Well, I moved. I was in Brooklyn, then I was in Manhattan, then I was in Jersey City. I started working for Shred Supplements. I was like photo manager and creative director there for a while. And then from there, I just one day packed my stuff and moved to Florida.
Wow, that's a bold leap, dude. That's a bold move. That's really cool. That makes
I like doing more, you know, if you know that you want something, because I think a lot of people like to, you know, they want to reach their goal, but they want to do it the safe way. But if you really want shit to happen now, you have to just put yourself in a situation where you have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know,
you gotta get uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah. So I said, like, if you have a job that you hate, instead of staying at that job and just kind of on the side trying to find another job, it's going to take a while, probably. Instead, why don't you just go in and quit the damn thing, and now you're going to have to fucking find another job, you know? Like, you don't have another choice. So I said, not about everything, but I like to kind of just do something and put myself in a little bit of a bad situation, and then I have to figure it out.
Gotcha.
That's very true.
And you traveled to Thailand all by yourself for 2 months. What was this?
I don't know. I was like 21 or something, 22.
Maybe. Was this after New York or before New York? Or
wait, when did I say these things? Oh, this. Did I answer questions to you? I was like, wait, how do you know this?
I do my research.
Okay. I think I was 22. So I went to Thailand once when I was 18 or something with an ex-boyfriend. And then we loved it so much. So we booked another trip for like the next year, because if you book in advance, it's cheaper. And then we ended up breaking up during that year. And I was like, I still want to go though, you know? So I just ended up going by myself. And then I was supposed to go for 6 weeks and I missed my flight home and I stayed for 8.
Oh, wow.
And it was really fun. It was the best. Same thing, like, then you just kind of have to socialize. You know, if you go somewhere with a friend, it's easy to just be with that person. But if you do go by that, I kind of just like doing things on my own sometimes.
Did you end up getting any tattoos while you were over there? Because they're big on that over there too.
Yes, I got bamboo on my feet and it hurt very much.
Oh.
I did. I figured, you know, I got to try the old school style, but I wasn't. Yeah. I didn't really realize that it was gonna take so long, and hurt so bad.
They're like tapping it in, like tapping. Yeah. In. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It took so long.
Yeah, that's. I heard it's like old school, like tribal, like the tribe they use that. I heard the people are really nice over there, right? They're pretty nice and.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long. I would love to go back again. It's been so long. Yeah. When I went, I think I went when it was still kind of, like, you could go there and it's not crowded with tourists. But now, I don't know. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
How's the food over there? I know it's different from here.
I love it. It's Thai food in Thailand is the best food in the world.
Mm.
But you gotta, like you said, you gotta find that authentic stuff. Like go to like a Thai market where nobody speaks English. That kind of stuff. Because there's so much tourism there now. So it's hard to know, you know, you gotta figure out where to go and there are no tourists, because I find that more interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting you said that. Because there's somebody I know that moved there too. Yeah. Like they're saying that the food was like the best in the world. That's funny you said that.
Yeah. I mean, now I don't know. So last year I had a lot of issues with my gut and I did the food sensitivity test. So I'm allergic to gluten, which is in like all their food. And I'm also allergic to chicken and eggs, which is in like all their food. So I don't know if I can eat anything anymore.
Good question. That's funny. My bad, Clark.
No, go ahead.
Did you, like, was chicken, egg, and gluten, like stuff like that, was that like an everyday thing for you back in the past? Yeah, they say too much of anything is...
Not gluten, though. No, I wasn't eating gluten. I was only eating gluten on my cheat meals. So they told me I am extremely intolerant to gluten. Like, very, very, very much. I don't have celiac disease, but they told me I should treat it as I have it. That's how bad it is. Mm. And they think that the reason that I never got a reaction in my entire life is probably because I didn't eat it very much. My only gluten meals would be when I had a cheat meal, which would be pizza or something. But I didn't do that every day. That happens like once a week or something. So they said my body has just been fighting it because it only came every now and then. While chicken and eggs, obviously I was eating a lot.
Yeah. That's funny you said that, because I went vegetarian for like, wow, it's been about almost, 5 years, six years. And I went to try to eat chicken. I'm not going to lie. I went to go eat chicken and I just broke out in hives. Like, I can't eat chicken anymore. Can't. Yeah.
But they also told, so my doctor told me that there's a chance that I might not actually be intolerant to chicken like 100 years ago, but chicken today, because there's so much shit.
Yep.
So he said, you know, it's really, you might be able to eat certain chicken from like a farm or, you know, a place where it's actually clean stuff, but you never know. It's so hard to know these days.
That's true. That is true. That is very true. Yeah, it's,
you know, I try to buy like good meat, but like, how are we going to know? The thing is, even if I go to Whole Foods or something and I make sure I get the organic and non this and that and whatever, like, how are you supposed to actually know?
Facts. Yeah, because I even tried organic and that didn't work. So,
and organic doesn't mean anything. Yeah. So if you're going to be like, to be the safest, you should go to a farm. But I mean, where do you do that? My doctor said, you need to start buying all your meat from a farm. Yeah, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you, they got a farm down the street, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just go to the farm on the corner.
Yeah.
No, so I just avoid it now. And honestly, I know I have a lot of friends who are into bodybuilding that don't eat chicken, not because they can't, but because they just say it's like dirty meat, kind of. A lot of people say that, like, it's not a very clean meat in general, but what else?
They say the same thing about pork.
Oh, yeah. I never ate pork my entire life. That I don't even consider. I love steak, like filet mignon or something, and the turkey I just eat because I don't really have many other choices.
Too much fat. My friend is allergic to chicken and he used to eat chicken every day, so maybe I'm starting to see a pattern. Maybe it's because, go ahead,
what happens, like, does he get a reaction or something?
Oh, I don't know, he just says he's allergic to it, so he eats seafood now. And
okay.
Yeah, what happened with you? Like, was yours a reaction or?
Not nothing. That's the thing. I never got any reactions to anything. And that's as far as I know. So I do all holistic now. I have a holistic doctor I see for everything. And I started getting stomach issues last year. Basically, I just woke up one day and it looked like I was pregnant. And I was what is going on with my stomach? Because I was on competition prep and that shouldn't happen because, you know, I track everything I do. So, and my coach was saying, it's like, what is going on with your gut? I was like, I don't know what's going on, you know, and it would not go away. So then eventually I found a holistic doctor and they helped me and we did all the different tests and stuff. So they told me that if you eat stuff that your body, that you're intolerant to, your body's going to fight it. Like, there's stuff in your body that's just fights all the bad shit. And he said, one day when your body doesn't have the energy to fight anymore, that's when you get issues. And it doesn't necessarily happen when you eat it. It can happen at any time. So my body didn't give me issues for 35 years. And then suddenly one day, everything came like that out of the blue. And he said, I was just lucky that I didn't have a lot of issues. So it's been a year now and I am still not done with cleaning up my gut. I still have a little bit of issues, but we're almost there. But he said, you know, if you don't listen to your body and you keep eating that shit, one day it will attack your thyroid or something, or you will start getting like serious issues that you might not recover from. So I highly recommend everybody to actually look into what they're eating. I know I have a lot of friends too. They actually did the test and he says, you should not eat it. They're like, ah, fuck it, I'm going to eat it anyway. I was like, yeah. And one day you're going to get all the problems. So, you know.
It's kind of hard though nowadays, because like almost everything you see is toxic. Even the stuff they say is organic. Like you said, is it really organic? So it's
no,
like,
yeah, no, I do agree with that, but that's not really what I meant. I just mean if you do a test that shows what foods you're intolerant to, and then you don't eat those. Yes, it's always going to be crap and things. That's why, as I said, for me, for example, I cook all my own food. I don't buy anything finished anywhere. I do, you know, I don't use a bunch of sauces and seasonings and stuff. I keep everything clean. I buy one ingredient food. I would never in my entire life go to a store and buy something that is already pre-cooked. Forget it. Never. I cook everything from scratch. And when I say
no public sub?
What?
No public sub?
Public what?
Public sub?
What is that?
Like, the sub from Publix, like how they make it for you?
Oh, no.
No?
Like, I will buy raw asparagus and cook it. I will buy raw rice and cook it. I will buy raw chicken and cook it. That's how are you otherwise going to know what they put in there?
Hey, no lemon pepper wings, some wing stock, no nothing.
One ingredient food that only has one ingredient in them. Anything where you read on the label and it has more than one ingredient is not a one ingredient food. It's processed, pre-cooked, and crap. Because I was out traveling a few weeks ago and, you know, I always cook before I travel and, you know, I cook my turkey and everything. And then during the trip, I was like, you know what? I need more rice. So I go to the store and I buy one of those microwave rice. You know how many ingredients that shit has? Like 15. There is like this acid and there's sugar and there's whatnot. I was like, why? Why do you put sugar on rice? Seriously. Like,
that's true. There's
absolutely no point. But anything that is pre-cooked always has crap in it. So I ate that rice that one time and I'm never going to do it again. And that's what I know. I still have my cheat meals though. So it's a little different. Sometimes my cheat meal will be that I go out and eat something shitty. Because I'm only human. I want shitty stuff sometimes too. I will go out, I will eat whatever I need, or I will eat like Oreos or whatever. And then sometimes I will cook my own cheat meals because I can't eat gluten. So like I will make my own pizza, for example, because I can't eat regular pizza anymore. I don't know. So my coach kind of tells me every day now what to do. So I don't know if I'm having a cheat meal this week or not. She would kind of look at my body and see. But if I do end up having a cheat meal now when I'm this close to competition, it would be something clean. Like I will maybe just a piece of steak with my own fries I make at home, you know, something like that.
Okay, we might have to.
I do eat shitty stuff too. I just don't do it that often.
We might have to come by dinner one time to try out the way you cook.
Yes, my pizza. That's it. I'm not like a great cook, but I have certain things I'm very good at. And also, I've learned how to make dessert really well because I'm allergic to vanilla. So when I go to a restaurant, what do you think they have in all dessert? Gluten, eggs, and vanilla.
Vanilla, yeah. So
I can't eat any dessert outside. Any of it. And it's very sad. But I'm very good at baking brownies and cookies and stuff now. Very good.
Okay. Since you say you have a coach now, so is it easier now when you have a coach like helping you, or like what's the pros and cons of having a coach?
I think every single person in the world that is a professional athlete of any sort needs a coach. It doesn't matter how good you are, because it's not about knowing what to do. It's about having somebody else or another set of eyes being able to critique you, so you can always be better. And the same, so for example, like I'm a posting coach for the WBFF. Like I teach girls how to post on stage, but I have a coach too, because I will figure out my posting, but she needs to fucking look at me and tell me what I can make even better, because you can't see that yourself. You know, you get blind to what you do yourself. And the same with the food. I love the comfort of her telling me what to do. It's not that I can't, but I have so much on my mind. I have to make sure, you know, I have my stage clothes already. I have to make sure I get my workout in, my physical therapy, am I stretching, am I sleeping? And like, there's no end to it. So it's so easy for her. She just sends me, eat this today. Boom. Here you go. It's just, it takes away a lot of stress. And as I said, you always need another set of eyes, because it's much easier to coach somebody else than to coach yourself. Always. Okay. So do you think Mr. Olympia doesn't have a coach? You probably have five coaches. Everybody needs a coach. And I mean, that goes good for regular people too. If you really want to, because let's say you might know, you know, how to train well, or you might know how you're supposed to eat. But when, if you go to the gym and nobody else is able to push you a little bit harder than you are able to push yourself, how are you ever going to get to the level you want to be?
That's true.
It's more these things. Like, I think everybody, or the same, like maybe if you're a business person, whatever, you need a mentor, or you need somebody to just to look at you and give you critique so you can get better. That's all it is.
The one thing I didn't know they had, you know, you guys had posing coaches, and I thought they were just like flexing in the mirror all the time and trying to practice.
So I do WBFF, which is a fitness beauty pageant. So it's not traditional bodybuilding. We do all unique posing routines. It's kind of like a fashion runway, you could say. We wear like really flashy clothes and stuff. And the posing, it's not, you can do whatever you want. So you come up with your own posing routine, whatever looks good for you. So they're both women and men competing in this. So I used to do traditional bodybuilding, and then you have to do this pose and then you have to do that pose. But what if my body doesn't look good in that pose? Then I'm never going to win, you know? So I said, I did compete in the traditional bodybuilding, and I always placed freaking last because I don't have any boobs. They don't like that. And then I'm too lean and they don't like that. And then I have tattoos and they don't like that. And then I have a small butt and they don't like that. You know, what am I going to do?
Can't please everybody. My gosh. Yeah.
No, it's always something. I'm never going to look like they want me to look. While I do this competition, I grew my butt, so it's not that small now, but I have certain poses that just doesn't look good for me, and then I don't do those. So it's really that. I just like it much better.
Nice.
It's much more fun.
Yeah, and that's really cool.
Wear the flashy costumes.
Yeah, and have tattoos and stuff, because I was going to ask you about the tattoos. Yeah, that's cool.
If anything, they like that you're unique. So whatever you need to do to kind of just bring yourself and your personality to your stage, that they like.
Got you. So the regular bodybuilding, that's corporate. And then you guys are like, you know, like the more like edgy type. So that's pretty cool. That's cool.
Yeah. So the owners, or there are two owners, for this federation, so that it's a couple, and the guy, he used to actually, I think he was like top five or top seven Mr. Olympia back in the days, and then he did the bodybuilding for a long time, and then, you know, while he did that, he figured, hey, there are so many things that we could change about this, so then he started his own thing and just implemented all these things that he was missing.
Yeah, that's really cool. That sounds like something
I would. It's fun. It's like we have so much fun. It's like a big event. We do a bunch of photo shoots, and it's just way more fun. While the other competition, I felt like was more just you go there and you compete, boom, and that was it. I just felt like that. It's just more. I mean, we still want to go there and we want to freaking win now, but we have fun. Everyone is just like fun and friendly, and you know,
just a better experience. It sounds like. So you used to be a heavy rock and metal head in the past.
I still am. I still love the music, but I don't really like dress like that. I used to do concert photography for a long time. And I just kind of got fed up. So in Sweden, we have a lot of rock and metal festivals. So I would tour around to them and you know, stand in the ditch and shoot the bands kind of. And I haven't been in a concert in a long time. I think I went to so many, I'm like, I'm done.
So what was your favorite band?
Well, my favorite band always has been In Flames. It's a Swedish metal band. I always love them. Yeah, you know, I like a lot of different things. Right now I listen to like Decapitated a lot. It's very heavy. I like it for the gym. Lamb of God, I like.
I think I've heard of them. Yeah. I heard of Lamb of God. Dying.
Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of metal, but I listen to other stuff too. So my ex, he's Latin and he listened to a lot of Latin music. So I kind of adapted some of that and listen to that sometimes. And then sometimes when I work, I just feel like listening to techno. So then I do that. I don't have like one thing. It just kind of jump around.
Cool. That's cool.
Okay. Go ahead, Clark.
No, I was going to say like, that's cool. Like the bands in Sweden. So I didn't know they had them. I know each country has their own thing. So like I'm into music. So I listen to almost everything. Mm-hmm. And I try to go smooth jazz and I can go to like to trap. Hip hop music, then I go to the Latin music, and then I'll go listen to rock music. So I listen to everything. That's cool. But one thing I like about Sweden, I like their cars too. So I just gotta put that out there.
Like Volvo?
Volvo, Koenigsegg.
You know, Koenigsegg is my favorite car in the world. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
One day.
Dream car.
Oh wait, weren't they were bought up by somebody, right?
No way. No, I didn't hear about this news.
I don't think so.
Really? No? Hold on.
I'll be surprised. Christian von Koenigsegg selling that? I highly doubt it. But I don't think
they're like they were bought up by another car brand.
Oh no, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
No, maybe not.
No, it doesn't say anything.
It's the guy Koenigsegg. He lives here in Miami, I think.
No way.
I just feel like somebody. Maybe I'm just dreaming. Yeah, I don't see anything, but yeah, it's the best car ever.
I gotta have an Ajera R. I got or a 1-1, but we'll see. We'll see.
I've never even seen one live, I think.
Yeah?
No, I don't think so.
I know Prestige Miami, they had one. They had an Ajera R. Was it the 1-1 or the Ajera R? It was in the showroom. And then, you know, they leased those cars and then they sent them somewhere else. But they had...
What does it cost to lease the damn thing?
Yeah, they lease them. Yeah, they lease them.
How much you going for? How much you think the lease you're going for?
No, I mean, like, they share the car. So, like, one dealership will request to have it there. And if they sell it, they get they'll get, like, a commission, a commission off of it or something, and share it.
I don't think I ever seen it live, too.
So I have to get so famous that they ship me a car and say, hey, can
you... Yeah. That would be cool. That would be cool. That would be
imagine. Cool. I'm Swedish kid. Well, I gotta drive one at least. They're just so freaking expensive. It's like, even if I could afford it, I'm just wondering if I even feel like it's worth it, you know?
Yeah, no, you gotta drive one then.
I do wanna drive one for sure.
You gotta drive one. Tell them, like, let me see why it's worth this much. Then we'll see.
Because I had last year I had a BMW i8 for a while. And then I had a Mercedes C43 AMG after. Like, I love fun cars, but it was like, I was driving the damn thing like once or twice a month. And I'm like, here I am sitting paying for this damn thing and I don't even use it. So I ended up selling the car now, and then I'm going to get another car after I decide where I'm going to move.
Nice. Which one are you looking at?
I'm sorry. I don't know. Since I'm not looking for a car now, I don't know. Like, it's like in downtown Miami, you don't drive here. Like, you do not drive here. Even if you have a car, you take a freaking Uber anyway. You can't find parking. You sit in traffic, like, forever. Or you even freaking... If now I can't do cardio like that, but otherwise I would walk. It would be faster.
Yeah, that's crazy. So one of your favorite books is The Five Love Languages.
Yes. Have you read it?
Yes, I have.
It's life-changing.
What's your love language? My love language? Mm-hmm.
You don't know? Have you done the quiz? You can do a quiz.
Yeah, I did the quiz, but it's been a while. I think it was...
You don't remember your love language?
The hell?
You have like all of them, but you have, you know, in order, kind of.
Name all five of them real quick, so I can. If you name all five of them, then I'll pop in.
Acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, and gifts.
Mine was words of affirmation, I think. Mm-hmm. And physical touch, I think it was. I think it was those two. What was yours?
Acts of service and quality time.
Quality time. Okay. What was yours, Clark?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't read it, but I've heard about that.
You should do the quiz. There's like a 5-minute online quiz. I mean, everybody should read the book because the book is great. The book is so different from the quiz, but you can do a quiz like online just to figure out what's your thing.
Definitely. It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while since I took the quiz. I'm going to send it to you, Clark, but I'm going to retake it just to refresh my mind.
It works for everything. I asked some of my friends. So one of my best female friends, I asked her, I was like, what's your love language? She's like, it's words of affirmation, she said. So I was like, oh. So now every now and then I just text her and tell her why she's so great. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it works for any. It can be friends, it can be family, it can be kids, whatever.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. And you feel so you think that book helped you with business too, or like with friends and people or your relationship? What do you think it helped you more?
Initially, I read it because of, I was married before. And I'm getting divorced. But I was just trying to, I found the book like a year ago. And I was just trying to figure out, you know, why things weren't working, kind of. And I read it and I was like, oh, it makes sense now, you know? Because obviously I was trying to do for him the things I wanted him to do for me. But which wasn't his freaking love languages, so it doesn't work then. So then, you know, I'm trying to figure out. So I said, if I just walk around and do things for you, but it doesn't mean anything to you, like it's not going to work, you know, that's just because that's what I wanted. So I think whenever you meet somebody or just figure out whatever they need, and then you try to do that.
Yeah, I think you should try to study them and figure out, like you said, figure out their love language. And
just straight up ask.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah,
but it depends who it is, though, because some people, they want you to work when you want you to work for it.
Yeah, but if you don't know how to work, like, hey,
yeah.
How old are you? Yeah, maybe if you're 20. I'm not 20. I'm 35. I don't want to bullshit, okay?
Yeah, I know
you. I get you. Yeah, you want to get straight to the point.
Just
tell
me what the fuck you want. No, but just because let's say that, you know that my love language is acts of service, but you still need to figure out how. Maybe quality time for you isn't the same as quality time is for me. Maybe for you it's that we're on the phone talking or whatever. Maybe for me it's like us staring in each other's eyes and like, you know, like what is quality time? Or it's for you, it's going to the movies together, while for me it's sitting and talking. Like it can still be so deep, but I think just ask people, like, why are you gonna guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we do gotta realize this. You're a woman. If you like back in the days when I used to say stuff like that, I asked a girl that in high school, you would not get the same response.
No, but then when we were young, people didn't. I wish that they would give out this damn book in schools. Seriously, imagine how much it would have helped people.
Yeah.
Things. I didn't even know about love languages before I read this book. I didn't even know what that meant.
Wow.
Because if you don't, I said, you might not even, I didn't even know what my love languages was until I read the book and I started realizing why. So my ex likes gifts, and gifts means absolutely nothing to me. Like if you buy me a gift and then you don't spend any time with me, that to me means that you bought a gift in exchange for fucking spending time with me. And that will obviously make me even more pissed off instead. So I said,
Maxie, breathe in, breathe out.
Uh-huh.
Breathe in, breathe out. She was going hell.
No, no, no. I'm just a friend of mine told me I'm just a very high energy person.
I like it though. I like it.
I just talk a lot with my hands.
But yeah. I was just about to ask you about if you're still married. So it sounds like you say you're getting divorced.
Oh no, we separated a long time ago.
Okay. Because I read somewhere that you said that your husband said to you a week after he met you that he wanted to marry you and he didn't need anything else in his life.
You probably read some old interview or something, right?
Yeah, it was an old one, yeah. But he said that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Latin man, he's very romantic.
Romantico. Okay. Okay, so... what's your thoughts on getting married? So you guys got married after a week, or is that true or no?
No. He said that after a week. No, we didn't get married after a week.
Okay. How long after did y'all get married?
Maybe 5 months.
5 months? Okay. In your opinion, since you've been through this already, do you think that's too early, or do you think you still need more time to learn someone?
I don't really think, here's the thing, for me, I don't think a marriage really matters. It's not important. I wouldn't really care whether I got married or not, because like, what's the point? Can't you just have a little celebration and do something fun without actually doing the marriage? Just go on a honeymoon and make the marriage. I don't know. I don't think it's very important. I'm not that kind of girl who just like, oh my God, I want to dress up in a dress and look all pretty and shit. No, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'd rather just have a celebration and it can be a marriage or it doesn't have to be.
I respect that.
Are you talking more on the I guess getting dressed up and get married, or are you talking about like you and the person are married now, like by like paperwork?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, and it's just complicated. If we didn't get married, it would have been easier, right? That's what I mean. The paperwork isn't really that important. I don't care about it. Maybe.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted a breakdown. Like, what did you mean exactly? No, okay.
And I don't care about an actual wedding either. I don't care for a wedding. I never wore a wedding dress. We went on a boat trip and in a bikini. That was our wedding. So I said it can be, but I don't feel like if I meet someone again, I don't feel like I have to get married. I would rather just do something fun or go on a trip or something. It doesn't have to be paperwork.
You know, that's...
but it's not like something that is that important.
Well, a lot of men agree with you.
That's what I've been saying.
A lot of men agree with you. Yeah, a lot of men agree with you. It's just that not a lot of women agree with you. So they want that whole... the experience, the getting dressed up, and
I'm not a very girly girl. I am when I compete now, when I get to be all cute and wear a crown and a gown. But before that, no, I've never been very girly.
Like it, you know, with the marriage part, I understand what you're saying, because like it doesn't make sense if you two are successful at what you do, you bring money to the table, you know, like success. Like just financial, you know, pretty good financially. And then from there, you know, of course, you know, you know each other, and why get married? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, they'll probably get at me in the comments later or whatever, but yeah, they'll be like, oh, you get a tax break, you get this and that. I'm like,
I'm sure there are benefits. That's what I mean. If it feels like the benefits are like it's worth it, then yeah, freaking do it. Or if I would meet somebody and the marriage is important to them, then fine. But I don't feel I wouldn't care if we didn't. I wouldn't be like upset because we didn't do it.
Exactly.
It's not like I can't do it. Yeah, sure. I would do it. If you know, if you love someone and you really want to do it, then go for it. But it's not, it doesn't, I wouldn't walk around like, when the fuck are we going to get married?
You don't value it the same.
Yeah, it doesn't prove anything in my eyes.
Yeah, you don't value it the same pretty much.
Yeah.
What, were you always like that, or was this after the divorce or as you got older?
Always.
Gotcha. Mm. Okay.
I mean, maybe I would do it if
all right,
I wear my gown and my competition crown and all.
What'd you, What do you feel like? Because I know you said it's not like officially done, but I was going to ask a question because I don't want to get you in trouble on that part. Because, you know, if it's not officially done, you're not supposed to do certain things. But I was going to ask you, how do you feel about the dating scene in Miami or in Florida, South Florida? What do you feel about that?
In Miami, I haven't dated. I don't do that. It's not that long ago. I left my ex and I'm on prep. Like right now, my only priority is to win the Royal Crown.
Got you.
I have want no boys on my mind.
Got you.
Can I ask you a question? So when you were married and you was doing prep, I heard boxers say that, or players or athletes say they won't have sex for the week before their whatever. Do you do the same thing too before the game or the fight?
I would say yes, because I say so for different reasons. First of all, you don't want any distractions on your mind. Also, it's basically cardio. And I said, I don't know, for some people, maybe that would be beneficial. But for me, who's barely even allowed to do cardio, it's not. And I just feel like you shouldn't have any distraction. Like your peak week, you are depleted, you are tired, you are like, you feel like shit because that's what you're supposed to do, because you start carbing up and filling up close to the show. So you are going to feel like shit that week. We all do. Even me, who still eat carbs, like we're tired. We have like no fat and no water in them. It's just, I don't even know if you're going to have the energy for it to be. No, I don't think so. Like peak week is not a pleasant week. If somebody says so, they're wrong.
Can you break down your peak week or anybody's peak week? So we can have a better understanding, like what you go through.
It would be different for everybody. So some people that struggle with losing fat, they might be doing a ton of cardio. We're talking, there are people that do hours of it per day. And there might be people that are eating so little carbs that, I mean, I've done it because that's what I thought I needed when I started too. Like you are a freaking walking zombie because you're eating so little. You're hungry the whole time. And so that I don't do that though, because for my body, I think last year on my peak week, I ate over 2,700 calories a day. And now a lot of people gonna hate me right now. So I barely did any cardio on my peak week. I think I did 20 minutes like four times that week, or maybe three times. 20 minutes. That was my cardio. And then you work out. Obviously, you lift weights every day, except the day before the show, then you don't do anything at all. But you lift weights. You do not want to exhaust yourself. All you want to do is get a pump. You don't do any max sets. You don't go super heavy or anything like that. You just want to get a pump in the muscle. And then as a girl, I said, the guys have preparations too, but as a woman for a peak week, we get our nails done. We get our hair done. We, maybe do Botox and fillers and shit if we want to do that. Here's the thing. Right now, I don't have anything in my face because it looks fine. I have no fat. And you can see my cheekbones now. Wait till my peak week. It looks like a skeleton with skin on. It's horrible. So I told the woman that helped me last year, because she didn't actually see me on the peak week. She saw me before that. And I told her this year, I said, hey, I need to do filler under my eye. And she's like, no, you don't. I was like, wait a second. And I pull up my photo. Wait, maybe I can show it to you guys. She's like, oh my God, yes, you do. She said, like, I look like my face, peak week face is not pretty. So we need do these things just so we can look good, because our bodies look incredible and our faces look like shit. That's just how it is. As if I don't like what I look like on the peak week. Luckily, though, that we look incredible on stage, and that's all that matters right then. But yeah, we don't look that good.
Well, I didn't know you go that far. Like some.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, some people don't get that lean, but I get super lean. I'm almost at the picture here. I'm just gonna show you what I look like. Don't laugh at me, okay? See if it works. It's like bright. Can you see it?
Yeah, it's like bright.
Oh no. Well, I can send it to you afterwards.
Yeah.
How do I? Can I lower maybe the light?
Wow.
Yeah, it probably doesn't work because it's like, can you see? No, it's too bright though. Well, do you see out of my eyes what it looks like?
Yeah, your eyes are like,
they're horrible. Yeah. And that's my peak week face. So then I've never done it before, but this year I want to do filler under my eye. And the thing, I'm doing like a vlog, so I'm going to record everything I do and post later so people see, you know, all the crazy things we have to do. So the competing has a lot of crazy stuff to it. And also because I have such fast metabolism, like if I do filler and Botox and stuff, it goes out in a couple of weeks, which absolutely sucks. And I didn't know when I was younger that maybe I should become a Botox lady as my job. That would have saved me a lot of money. Wow. Anti-aging is the business to be in. That's for sure.
Wow.
Okay. I wanted to ask you this question too. So can you be with somebody that don't like to work out?
If you asked me a few years ago, I would say yes. And now I'm going to say no. And I'm going to explain why. So I had when I lived in Sweden, I'm going to say most of the guys I've dated there did not work out at all. And I didn't care. And I had one ex that I don't think he's ever trained in his entire life. He was he was overweight. And, you know, I don't care. Like, I didn't care. I don't look at a person like, if you don't have a muscular body, I don't like you. No, I don't. Like, that's not. I love a person's personality. And I've always been like that. So, you know, it was fine. But he started questioning me because I was going to the gym every day. So he started questioning me all the time and saying, why do you have to train every day? I was like, because I feel good and, you know, I want to do this. He's like, oh, and he would always be mad at me. And then another reason is that, like, I don't care if you don't train, but respect that I do. Like, you have to respect what I love. He was a musician. I respected what he did. And then he had a lot of health issues. A lot of health issues. He's, wow. That ran in his family, which some of it had to do with his weight. So for that reason, I do not want to be with a person that doesn't work out because they might not understand my lifestyle. But also, I'm 35, like, what am I in 10 years going to live with a person who has like all sorts of health issues? No, I want to live a freaking nice life with somebody that is healthy and care about their body and their health and their food and everything and doesn't get sick. So I think that is my main reason. I said, I never thought like that before, but now when I've seen and learned more of these things, like I want to be with a person that's healthy. If you're going to be fully healthy, you have to exercise. You don't have to be a bodybuilder, but you have to exercise.
Definitely.
Gotcha. Okay. Another question I wanted to ask. This topic been going around for a while. I'm not sure if you heard about it or not. Have you heard of a guy named Kevin Samuels?
Kevin Samuels?
Yes.
I don't know. No.
Maybe. So he went viral for talking about bringing women on their show and telling women and critiquing women pretty much and saying stuff to them. And so...
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on high value men?
So since I don't really know what this guy has said, like what is he saying?
Okay. Clark, can you break it down, Clark? Because I know me and Clark were just talking about this, but let me see if I can find a video and play it for you and then you tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I think the video would be better because if I don't explain it right, because he talks about a lot of other things too. He does talk about the men and what the men do too. Mm-hmm. But like he talks about like how they're quote unquote the modern woman. You know what I'm saying? So
the woman is like, right, oh, now.
I don't need a man and this and that. But then when they, you know, but it goes deep into it. And then they like a lot of the like especially the IG models, he tries to get on the IG models because they're like, you know, they got this, they got their boobs on.
Well, I can just to comment on that.
Yeah.
I am not an IG model. I will never be an IG model. I will never see myself as an IG model. And if somebody wants to call me that, that's not what I am. Yes, the last year my social media exploded. And you don't want to know why? Because I've been working with this shit for 17 years. My job is to grow people's brands and businesses. I specialize in content for advertisement. It's just that the only reason I never grew my social media is because I didn't want to. But I know exactly what to do. So last year, COVID hits and suddenly I have a lot of time and I'm like, huh, maybe I should start actually doing something for myself. Here I am making content for other people all the time. I said, I've been a photographer for 17 years. I do photography, web design, graphic design, animation work, video. That's what I do. That is what I am. I will always be a photographer. I don't care if people call me, oh, you're a model. This and that. I'm not a model. Yeah, I model sometimes, but I'm not a model. I will never see myself as that. And the Instagram people, I think it's so hard to know though, because there are people on there that are freaking hardworking people, but then there are other people on there that are not, that are just gliding on other shit. So, I mean, there's always going to be a lot of them. And unfortunately, on social media, and people always just assume without actually knowing. So they just look at a person posting something. Oh, this is just another freaking Instagram model and this and that. And all they do is sell sex or whatever, whatnot. But how do you know that? Yes, yeah, some do. But I feel like people judge people very fast. And in general, I just feel people shouldn't judge people so fast without actually knowing what's behind.
Yeah, because, yeah, and that's the thing, too, is like when I see like the bodybuilders and everything, I don't look at them as IG models to me. I mean, whatever, if they do it or not, I mean, they don't, you know what I'm saying? I see body like you, like your bodybuilder, you know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, not like, I wouldn't say. Huh? I'm sorry.
I'm a photographer.
Well, a photographer, but I mean, like, you know, like.
Like entrepreneur.
I am an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Entrepreneur. Yeah, let's put it like that.
Yeah. Well, I will always see myself, number one, photographer. Number two, bodybuilder.
Got you.
I mean, here's the thing, yeah, I guess I can say that I'm a model too now, but it's just, it's so hard to say. Like, I don't. Almost all the content that I am in, I am the creative director behind it. I come up with all the concepts. I say how it's, if I use another photographer, I tell them what and how to shoot me. Then I do all my own editing. I do all my own graphics. I do everything. That's why I don't want to call myself a model, because if you're a model, you go into a job, you're being told what to do. That's not what I am. That's not what I do. I'm a content creator, and sometimes I am the one in the content. That's not how I would say. But
you are a model. You're a role model.
I mean, nothing wrong with being a model. Hey, it's not an easy job to be a model. I just mean like that is not for me. And if I can't be the creative mind behind something, then I'm not going to like it. That's why I don't go and try to be a model at a models agency, because I'm probably not going to like it.
Got you. That's true.
Everyone should do whatever makes them happy. And for Instagram models, I don't know. Maybe that's what makes them happy. Then let them do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm sure there are both female and male people that are doing that. So.
Yeah. Both sides.
And in some way, since they have still, and I don't think they're just, I mean, nobody's sitting at home rolling their thumbs. They're still doing something. And sometimes maybe we don't really understand how the fuck they're making money on that shit, but clearly they're doing something. People are not going to pay them unless they're bringing value. So if they're just sitting there looking pretty, being an Instagram model, but people are buying product when they do it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like to think that there are, I don't know what to say. I try to just not really judge people, because you don't really know the background.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, they can be doing something else even worse. Yeah. Too, on top of that,
we have no idea, you know, what they've been through or how they're being treated or whatever, whatnot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm about to play the clip and then let me know what your thoughts on it.
Go for it.
Hold on.
I mean, when I look at most successful marriages, there's usually a higher calling in that marriage. It's not about who's sleeping with whom.
The family crest. You know,
sometimes the guy's messing around. Sometimes the girl's messing around.
Yes.
And sometimes they both know about it.
Yes.
But there's children at stake. There is a business at stake. There is legacy at stake. So they put aside whatever temporary things go on and stay together because there's a bigger picture here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't quite get that. And I think a lot of people go into marriage saying, okay, I'm attracted to this person right now. I'm sexually attracted. I like sleeping with the person. But at some point, that's probably going to fade away.
Yes.
And then what do you have? And if the relationship is just based on sex, it's just not going to last. Not forever.
Nope.
You'll have a good run. But at some point, you know, you're left with a person. And I think what also happens is, in the same way that women are quote unquote groupies of certain types of men, men are groupies for certain types of women.
Okay.
So men will pursue, how I said earlier, the hot girl. You know, Lori Harvey is the hot girl right now. Chloe Bailey is one of the hot girls right now. You love the idea of that person. You see them on Instagram. There's a lot of Photoshop and filters that go on mm-hmm. with that. That's not really how the person looks. Nope. That's not really how their body or face really looks. You don't really know what their personality is like. You don't know what their habits are like. So you want to, you know, and I'm not just talking about the big, you know, whoever that is in your life. Maybe it's the local hot girl in your mm-hmm. high school or your college or whatever. You get obsessed and you become a groupie of this person. And then when you finally deal with that person, you realize I was just in love with the idea.
Right.
You know, as opposed to the reality of it. Like, for example, I think that's what happened with Kim and Kanye. I think Kanye loved the idea of having the hottest chick, you know, out there, right. The most desirable woman, period, you know, who I think, you know, and Kim, I think, really changed the way we look at beauty. Before Kim, a voluptuous mm-hmm. white girl wasn't really celebrated like that.
Right.
Not really, not all across the board.
Well, you know, I would put this one, I wouldn't be surprised if they get back together. Put a pause there because they have so much stuff outside of what they already have. And when you have, from what I understand, Kanye is a bit of a complex personality.
Oh, yeah.
So if she's able to deal with them, you know, I get to talk to more women who have been on the side of that 8, 9, or 10, even the adjustable 6 or higher, who have had access to all these men. And they're saying, I wish I'd have stayed with the guy I met earlier. And what we're ultimately doing is we have these conversations about, I have that conversation about sex. All right, what are you willing to give up if attraction wasn't there? And see, the conversations we tend to have are conversations that are about longevity, not just the short-term stuff. And because those things aren't being talked about a lot, it makes us a viral moment, some interesting conversations. But I think what we're doing more than anything else is getting the conversation started between men and women. And the refreshing thing about my show is it is obvious that men want women. They want to be married. And it's obvious that many women are saying, I want to have a relationship. We just don't know how. We've had the last 40, 50 years tout the individual, tout do what you want, live your best life, and that kind of stuff. And see, how do we correct this to get the outcomes you possibly want if you want something different? And that's what it really comes down to. I talk to a lot of women. What do you want? I don't judge what it is you want. I don't judge any of that. But can you get it? And as much as we talk about high value men, I also have a very thing that I really dislike is when women come onto my show and crap on average guys. That happens every week. And that's when I tend to get upset because I'm sitting here being told, you have to say it this way or that way, or you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't say that. But then you have women who are looking at men who are firefighters, policemen, military, computer programmers, science, engineering, technology, and math. They're calling them lame, corny, goofy, dusty, this, that. Average guys getting crapped on. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. Everybody can't be this high value man. There are only so many of these guys. What about the rest of them? And when we can make average guys cool and make average looking women who are average looking or cute women who are cute women not feel like they're losing something or settling or getting with people who are around that same level, then we got a little progress. Hi.
So what's your thoughts on that conversation?
I mean, that wasn't all what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was a good, video. I liked it. I mean, it's very true, right? That, I mean, all of us, we have all probably been there. I said, I think I've definitely been there too at some point. I mean, with high value men, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody with money. It can just be somebody that is very good looking, I guess, or just popular, whatever. Because I remember when I was young and I was in school, you know, everybody wanted the popular guy. But I think, I mean, I'm going to say a long time now, I haven't really thought like that. I said, I like people for their personality and I know what I want out of a guy. That's why me and my ex are not staying together. Like, I really wanted it to work and I really tried to make it work, but we just want different things and it's never gonna work then, you know?
He did also stated though, he put a criteria on high value men, and he did say something like, I think it was, a high value man is somebody that makes six figures or more.
Oh, I didn't necessarily see it like that. So I feel like a high value man, yeah, I mean, that's maybe what he meant, but I'm just, because I've never been.
So the definition is different for you.
So I don't, okay, I kind of suck and I know that. So for the majority of my life, I've always had guys that made less money than myself. And I never saw that as an issue. But then obviously I do have a lot of female friends who's telling me, you know, maybe you don't think like that, but maybe they feel emasculated because you make more money. And I was like, you know, maybe that is the case. But I said, I am not looking to find a man that can pay for me, but I am definitely not looking to find a man that I have to pay for. I want to find someone who has their shit together, who can pay for themselves. And the thing is, I will happily pay things for somebody, or somebody can pay something for me if we want to do that. But we shouldn't have to do that, because it's the same. Like I always say, like, I don't want to need a guy. I will never need a guy. I want a guy. And because I think that if you need somebody, what kind of relationship is that? You should want to be with a person. You should need to be with a person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think it's okay if a guy's making a certain amount of money, like Bill Gates? Is it okay for him to have multiple women or cheat on you?
No, fuck no. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, let me take that back. I think if that's what he wants and if that's what the women want, then yeah, go for it. But not just because he has a lot of money and then people, because I think that if women are with him and they're like, okay, I'm fine with him having more women, but they're not actually fine with it, I mean, they're not going to be happy. Because I don't understand. The thing is, if I would have stayed at one of my old jobs, I would have made more money today than I do now. But would I have loved my life? No. Now I freaking love my life. I'd rather make a little bit less money. And I freaking love every day of my week, all the time. I love what I do. I never have to do anything. I work however I want, whenever I want, all the time. And I don't know. Is this guy American?
He could be American.
I come from Sweden and I know the same. To me, it's kind of like, if I would go out with a guy, I don't expect the guy to pay, because that's not normal in Sweden. So maybe you are asking the wrong person now. And I know the same. So I have in my years in the States, I remember specifically one time I went out to get a coffee with a guy and I took out my card and he got so angry at me. Like, you don't even understand. He started cursing me out. And I was like, what did I do? He's like, how the fuck dare you take your wallet up? Like, do you want to make me look like I don't have any money? And I was like, whoa, that was not at all what I intended to do. You know, I didn't expect him to pay for it. So I think I'm trying also, you have to kind of adapt to where you are. And I know in this country, it's a little different, that usually some guys expect that they are supposed to pay because it's supposed to be like that. So I think, you know, if I would go out with a friend or something, I definitely don't expect the guy to pay for me. But if somebody would ask me out on a date, I guess, you know, I'll let them pay. But, and then if you have a relationship, I mean, I've always been like that. Sometimes I pay stuff, sometimes he pays stuff. I mean, yeah. Unless you have some sort of arrangement where maybe it's a housewife or something and he pays, but she takes care of the house and the kids or whatever, that's different. I think that it just has to be from case to case.
I did not know Sweden was different like that. So the woman, yeah. So can you explain to me marriage and like dating somebody in Sweden compared to the US?
Okay. So, I wonder if my dad is going to watch this. No, I'm saying. So I've tried to explain to people, like, I don't know, like in Europe in general, things work a little different. And I know in this country, it's very common, like you ask somebody out and then you have to go on a date and this and that and whatnot. But if you are in a situation where maybe you are not looking to have a date, you're just looking to have sex, then we just say that. Like, what's the point in spending time on a date if you have no interest in that?
So that's how it is in Sweden.
I mean, like, if you are not interested in going on a date, then you're not, don't even say that. Then you just cut to the chase, you know?
Yeah.
How do you approach somebody like that in Sweden, though? Do you just go, like, hey, beautiful, I just want to get straight to the point? Like, that's it?
Yep. I mean, I'm not going to say everybody does that, but yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you said that in America. You said that in America, you get slapped.
No, I mean, I said I can only speak for my crowd of people. But if you would be out somewhere and you want to go home with someone, then you just say that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to watch my language here. Then.
No,
Clark, you taking a trip to Sweden?
Huh?
Well, I know about the culture like that in like Europe. It's like that, especially like the Czech Republic and all those. They do that because. Uh-huh. Like, they're very straightforward. And the other thing about that is that's why a lot of men are looking at women outside of America. And not just outside of America, just from different backgrounds. Because the women over here are, like, they want a certain
man,
but they're not willing to...
I've talked to female friends here, you know, which is very like, yeah, of course, you know, you have to have a date and this and that, and you got to do this. And I said to me, I said, everybody thinks different. So I hate when people waste my time. I do not want to have my time wasted. If I don't feel like you and me are going to have a great date or have a connection, like, why are we even supposed to do that?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then also, but then also I can change it to like, now in this age, I'm not really interested in going out and just like mess around with people. Like, I don't have time for that shit. I run a bunch of businesses and I, you know, I'm not interested in that either. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
I was married for a while. So
how long you was married for?
We've been married for 3 years.
3 years.
So, I mean, get back with all your dating questions after my competition. Right now I'm going to win the crown.
Yeah.
Perfect. So yeah, let everybody know, like, where's your competition? It's in Vegas, correct?
Yes, Las Vegas, August 14th.
Okay, and do people have to be there, or is there gonna be a virtual live thing like pay-per-view?
No, sometimes they do virtual, but I think no, because they've never done it on a world show before. It's kind of a little like discreet and super extra special VIP interview. So I think, no, I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be paper-y.
Okay.
Just come to Vegas and have fun.
August 12th, Vegas, right?
Is nice. Yeah, Vegas is cool. And you're like about 4 hours away from LA, so you can like drive there if you wanted to. That'd be cool.
I don't like LA.
You don't like LA?
No. I go sometimes. I have friends there, but I don't like it very much.
Vegas is nice. I like Vegas.
It's so dark now. I just realized.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna stay in Vegas. I'm gonna be there for a while. I'm gonna go there on August 9th and just take it easy that whole week and train and do some photo shoots and stuff. And then the competition is the 14th. And then on the 15th, there's a pool party, I know.
Hey.
A few days.
Relax.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay a few days and eat. That's really all I'm gonna do.
You can drink, eat, do whatever, anything you
no,
want.
After. I don't know about the drinking part. I'm super lightweight. And like one drink and I'm good. My body can't handle these things anymore.
That's crazy. That's like how I am. And yeah. Everybody's like, oh, you're a god. You're
young
and
party, but now, no. It's so rare that I drink. I just can't. Like, I'll have a glass of wine with my food or something, but then I'm like,
Oh, you got a clean liver. You got a clean liver.
Yeah.
I don't drink either.
I don't know how I did it when I was young. Cause I mean, I did party a lot when I was young, but I don't know how I did it.
That's the other thing I heard about Sweden. Cause there was this, girl, Ivanka, that I met when I was in high school. And this was in Atlanta, and she was from Sweden. Well, she was Swedish and Spaniard, but she lived in Sweden most of her time and also in Spain. Y'all get down at an early age. Y'all are drinking at like 15, like really hardcore.
When we're 18, we can go out and party in bars. And I think I started going out when I was like not so soon, maybe like 17, but I definitely did party at home with friends when I was 15. Yeah.
I
still remember my first time I was drunk. I was 15. Me and my friend, her big brother, bought us a whole bottle of vodka and we drank the whole thing.
Oh wow.
And just the way it was, we didn't even know any better, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe I was younger, maybe I was 13 or something. I don't know. It was a horrible experience.
Yeah, that's see, yeah. I knew it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, thanks for coming on. Hopefully you can come back on in person before you leave or move.
You mean before the competition?
No, before you move. Like, I know you say you was planning on moving.
You want to see me when I'm super dehydrated? I look like a different person.
Yeah, so thank you for coming on. And let everybody know where they can follow you and follow your journey.
So, yeah, I have my Instagram, which is Max West with two A's and two X's. So M-A-A-X-X-W-E-S-T. And that's the name I go by everywhere. I have the same on TikTok. I have the same on Instagram. What else do I have? Like, what other? YouTube. I'm actually Max Bustamante on YouTube. That's my ex name, but I still have it. Then I have my website, which is mwfitness.co. That's where I have my coaching programs. And then you can also search maxwest.com. You will come to my other website. Just search Max West and you'll find me everywhere, basically. And there's nobody else with that name.
Perfect. Thank you for coming on and stay in touch. And hopefully we can probably do a training session or something with all of us, me, you, and Clark.
Yes. Well, we'll do a, you can go on the podcast and we'll do a live training.
Yeah, we could do anything. Let me know.
Well, I'm here for the next August 9th, I leave. Until then, I am here prepping, cooking, eating, sleeping, working. That's all I do.
Perfect. All right. Thank you for coming on. It's Water Culture.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Water Culture.
It is what it is, but you can ask anybody from my neighborhood and they'll just tell you that this is just another Bronx tale.